Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we just had a very interesting chat with Ziad Makazoumi, who basically started his career as an engineer doing construction in Saudi Arabia, then did his MBA, and then joined Booz Allen, and then went with his brother and bought a failing, bankrupt pipe company and building it into the largest, one of the largest pipe players in their segment in the GCC. A huge success, which almost ended in disaster as he had a falling out with his brother. He left the family business broke and out on the street looking for a job. He had a very tough time, and he talked in depth about that and how he overcame that and to rise back up as the CFO of Arabtech, which at the time was the largest construction company, publicly listed construction company in the GCC, and had a very successful career there, and then went on and left and went on to become the group CEO of Faki IVF. I mean, there was a lot of takeaways there that you can see and listen to the podcast on our website on DubaiEye1038.com. And now we have a panel for you of some of the top women entrepreneurs and CEOs in the region who've started their businesses here in the Middle East, and they're going to talk a little bit about what it's like, what it takes, and what some of their lessons learned on the road to the top were. Our first guest here is Rama Hamid, the founder and owner of Grace and Garbo. Rama, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you very much, Shane.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And could you just tell us quickly, what does Grace and Garbo do?
We're primarily a PR agency, PR and communication. So we do a lot of branding work. We do a lot of...
I do a lot of PR and marketing.
Event management, you know, the whole 360 of marketing and communication, really, yeah.
And our next guest is Frenny Sire. She's the founder and managing director of Sire Shades Salon. Welcome, Frenny.
Thank you.
And I mean, it sounds fairly self-explanatory, but did you want to give us a elevator pitch on what the business is?
We are actually the first high-end salon that specializes with Afro and multi-ethnic hair in the region.
Okay, that's so. And our next guest is Nidhi Sethi, founder and managing partner for Jamoro Jewelry. Welcome.
Thank you.
And can you tell us a little pitch about what you do?
Jamoro Jewelry basically
caters to jewelry. Yes, yeah.
Asian clients, local clients. It's more for the personalized touch in jewelry.
Okay, great. Excellent. Just to let you know, you guys have to talk right into the mic and pull the mic. It moves right in your face because the audience won't be able to hear you at all then. There you go. Excellent. So let's start with Rama. How did you start your business? Maybe you can just quickly walk around and tell us quickly what was the catalyst and how did it all take off?
Well, I've always been in the advertising and marketing communications agency, having worked with brands like Leo Burnett for so long. With a lot of the team members working with different elements of PR and marketing and advertising and things like that. So I've always been within that spectrum of communication agency. But I think after a while, you kind of get stuck in the same corporate lifestyle and you lose a little bit of yourself. And I didn't want to come to that. So decided that I needed to have my own creative outlet as well. So moved to becoming an entrepreneur.
And wasn't that was the fear there? I think so many people don't take the jump because they're just too scared. Were you scared?
I'm still scared. I'm still scared because the journey has not ended. We're still on a roll. We still need to develop the brand a lot more as our own brand as Grace and Garbo, but also taking on other clients and that responsibility as well. So, you know, we're still evolving as an agency and growing. So, yes.
Great. Well, Frenny, tell us a little bit. What prompted you to start your own salon?
Mainly because we didn't have an Afro or multi-ethnic hair salon in the Jumeirah area.
Okay.
And you had to drive all the way to Deira or to Bar Dubai, and with traffic that took me 5 hours to get my hair done.
Wow.
And if you speak to anyone who's got multi-ethnic hair, it's the same story. So I got fed up of the drives and I decided to set up in Al Basha, which is very central. And we are 5 years old now, and yeah, it's getting better every day.
So I heard that actually that segment of the market which you're catering to actually consumes multiple more hair products than any other segment. I think it's like one of the biggest spend on hair care in the world for any segment, right?
It is.
So you're basically sitting on a gold mine. Did you drive a Bentley in here?
Yes, I do actually.
There you go.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do drive a Bentley?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not yet. Next year.
Next year, huh? The convertible sports coupe, I mean, that's
right.
Nice.
White or silver?
I like the blue one, actually. The baby blue? No,
okay.
That's not
all
bad.
Right.
I know, but it has to match your nails, I guess, if you own a salon.
Will do.
So, Nidhi, can you tell us, how about you? How did you get started in the jewelry business?
So my previous experience has been in retail, and I've always enjoyed it. I used to work for a jeweler in Dubai, and one day I decided to go off and try it on my own, and it was tough, but I do have a partner, and he's very accommodating. They're from a big family in Dubai, so the process was quite easy, setting up, and now we're on the road to success.
And it must take a huge amount of capital, because you bringing all that stock and jewelry is not cheap.
It is capital intensive. However, once you sell, you rotate, and you make new pieces out of what you've sold.
Right. What does that mean? How do you make new pieces out of what you sold?
Because the cash goes back in.
Oh, okay.
So the capital comes back.
And then you get more creative, and you know, there's that Cartier one where it's like a whole diamond Jaguar or something. Do you have anything like that? The diamond Falcon.
I don't do the animal collection, but
no.
On order I do.
Okay.
It's not a part of my collection.
What's kind of your collection theme then?
I do a lot of big pieces with a lot of colored stones, whether they're semi-precious, precious, emeralds, rubies, sapphires, tanzanites. It's more in demand. So depending on the demand, depending on the season, that drives my collection. Mm.
So I always hear, and I'm going to ask you guys a bit more of a sensitive question, but you know, they always say that in the Middle East it's tougher to do business as a woman, and you know, for some of the men we feel like women might even have an advantage, and so I don't know, where does the truth lie? I mean, I think in just talking within the Dubai context, because obviously in other geographies and some of our neighbors, it's obviously very challenging. But in Dubai, it seems quite friendly. Maybe that's an illusion. I don't know. What's your take, if we can just go around the room and tell me what you think? Is it any different as a woman? Is it harder? Is it easier? What's your take on that?
I think as an entrepreneur, we all face the same challenges. You know, we all are looking for capital to start off with, you know, whether you're a man or woman. So in that aspect, we're equal. But I think there are times when you just feel like the other gender is looking at women suspiciously because they're not sure whether you're taking this seriously or not. Because at the end of the day, they think, oh, you're going to go get married and, you know, have babies, and then this is going to, you know, take a back seat. So you do have, you know, that kind of misconception or challenges to educate and outgrow the other gender. At least that's from my experience.
And what do you think, Franny?
I'm married, I've got kids, and it can be a challenge in the sense that you don't get support, not from the region, but just from the dynamics of things. It is really not easy to start up anything, but I think if you can identify what it is that you want to do and have a good plan in place and follow it up, anything is possible.
So you feel Dubai is very female friendly for business?
Yeah, I think so.
I've not had a problem starting up. However, because I'm young, I do feel that people think that I might not be around for too long. like exactly what Rahma said, that you want to go off, get married, maybe end your business and move on. But that's my only challenge. People don't take you as seriously.
You feel people don't take you as seriously.
But that's because of your age, in my case.
For you, it's age. It's not a sex thing. It's an age thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about, you know, what's your business philosophies? You know, is it strategy over tactics? Is it, you know, focus on marketing? Is it customer service? Is it responsiveness? What's really your guiding stars, or do you have any guiding stars or mantras?
Well, having the 360 degrees in marketing, you know, the branding aspect of it with that kind of experience, and then the PR and the other marketing elements, it's very, for us, it's very, very important that you maintain brand. It's all about brand equity. It's all about growing the brand first, because in a PR spectrum, people think PR is press release, but it's not just that. It's public relations. There is a lot of elements that go into, you know, that marketing tool. So it's important for people to look at it in its broad spectrum and what the service is all about. Now, having the experience of the brand building, I usually take that into consideration. So for all my clients, I always look at what does your logo stand for? What is the brand equity? What is the brand strategy that you want to apply? So that whatever is planned or whatever the PR strategy is follows the original guidelines of the brand itself. Because otherwise what happens is you're just doing things randomly and haphazardly, and you're walking away from the original strategy. And again, that does not allow you to build your product or your brand as a long-term brand. So all those elements need to be taken, and I think that's what we believe in as an agency.
So marketing and long-term focus strategy.
It's very, very important, yeah.
And Frenny, what do you see as some of the big driving philosophies for you and your business?
I'm in the service industry, and it's about being on top of the game, like knowing what's out right now, because styles and products change constantly, and so you've got to be on top of the world, like know what is being released in the next 8 months, start selling that to your clients, training your staff, being there and building a trust so you don't lose your clients.
Well, we're going to hear exactly what Nidhi's guiding principles and North Stars are in just a minute, so stay with us.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here in a panel of female CEOs and entrepreneurs. These are women who run businesses here in Dubai, businesses they started from scratch and built up with hard work and sweat. These ladies are going to tell us about their secrets to success, what their lessons learned on the top were, and our first guest here is Rahma Hamid, founder and owner of Grace and Garbo, one of the leading PR companies here in the Middle East. Rahma, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane. It's nice to be here.
It's great. Thank you so much. And Frenny Sire, founder and managing director of Sire Shade Salon. Frenny, welcome back.
Thank you, Shane.
And we have Nidhi Sethi, founder and managing partner of Jamoro Jewelry.
Welcome back. Thank you.
So we were just looking at what are some of the big guiding principles or business philosophies that you use. And for Rahma, it's basically marketing, having a strong marketing and branding, and also having long-termism in terms of a consistency in what you're doing and where you're going. For Frenny, you said you're in the you are basically in a service business, so knowing what's in and what's out is really critical, and also having a deep level of trust and building trust with your clients. Nidhi, what would you say are some of your guiding principles and philosophies here?
Customer satisfaction is very important, and with that comes the differentiation in design and also the value for money.
And the value for money. So what things do you do in your business to drive these home? You know, what kind of approaches do you use?
Jamora is very personalized, so a lot of my business is based on appointments to meet me, to sit there, design your piece of jewelry, to understand what you want. It fits into your budget, and the customer then ends up going back happy because it's not just off-the-shelf products.
Sure. So what would you guys say has been your biggest learning after running the business and going through the startup and everything else that you've gone through? Rama, maybe we can start with you. You get put on the spot all the time.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah? What's
okay.
All
we'll start
about?
The next one with Frenny next time. So,
what's my biggest learning? I think constantly having to pull yourself together, because when you're an entrepreneur, it's like being on a roller coaster. A whole day can have these mixed emotions. You're happy one minute, you're upset the next minute, someone is, you know, annoying you the third minute. So you've got these roller coaster of emotions that you need to kind of deal with constantly. And get it together, because, you know, somebody getting on, you know, calling you the next minute could be a potential client, and you can't, you know, just pick up the phone and go, hello, how's this? You know, so you've got to be able to be, you know, calm, cool, and collected all the time, and have that, you know, business face, you know, out there, because, again, you cannot take, show your emotions and let your emotions ride the business and professional aspects of your business.
And it's such a tough thing to do, because this is a business you've built, so it is emotional, right? You are emotionally attached to it, and if one of your staff is kind of eroding your market position or your brand position, or heaven forbid, the integrity of your brand, you might blow a gasket.
It has happened a couple of times, yes. It has happened, yes.
In the Middle East, though, you know, do you have to blow a gasket to get business done once in a while?
Yes.
Yes. Not once in a while. I think once in a while is
weekly.
A daily basis.
Weekly.
Yeah, you have to, because you feel like people, as you said, won't take you seriously unless you kind of go over the edge a bit.
Yeah, and I think when you're, you know, a relaxed kind of boss, they take it for granted that everything goes or anything goes, not realizing that this end of the day is a business and you're there to do a job and make sure that everything is done. So there is that boundaries that people take advantage of. Again, being a woman, you're always a little bit softer and you're all right with a lot of situations, or you understand a lot of situations and you're flexible. So that, again, is not an advantage in these kind of environments.
So audience is just sending in a bunch of messages here, and they want to know how much is your jewelry, or what's the price range of your jewelry, Nitty?
Rings can start anywhere from 5,000 dirhams onwards, depending on the size, the shape of what you've chosen. If it's design-based, I even do orders for 1,200 dirhams to 2,000 dirhams. Everything I do is within someone's budget, so I can play around with anything, basically.
Okay, there you go. So anything goes when it comes to price. And I think that sounds, you know, that's how jewelry is, basically,
yeah.
Right? It's just like that. So, Frenny, what have been some of your biggest learnings?
Having to manage staff. That's, I think, the most tricky and most challenging aspect of any business that deals with your clients. Grow thick skin and be firm. I'd say I have had the sad opportunity of having to deal with a staff member who actually had mental issues, which you would obviously not pick on at an initial interview and things like that. And so that can be a bit tricky, and I think that's one area that can be improved on in this region, is maybe more training for staff, I'd say.
For the training and development, it's a hard thing to do when you're in, especially as you're growing as a small business, right? You don't have the time. To do that. The best part about the show is it's interactive, so you can SMS these ladies any question you want at 4001, especially if you're an aspiring entrepreneur out there yourself waiting and just thinking about taking the jump. Again, you can ask your question by SMSing us at 4001, or you can also use our mobile app, which you can download on our website at www.dubaii1038.com. So Nidhi, what's been your biggest learning so far?
One of my biggest challenges is my location, because I'm based in a hotel. It's very seasonal. My footfall's limited. So I am looking at expanding. I'm looking at getting into a new location. I've applied everywhere. But because it's a new brand, it's very difficult to get into the big malls. They only want high-end brands. I'm trying to overcome that challenge and finally put myself in a better location where I have better footfall.
So that's a bit of a challenge is, you know, you can't really build up your brand until you can get into the choicy spots, but you can't get into the choicy spots until you have a brand.
Exactly.
The chicken and the egg, which is, you know, I think it's one of the paradoxes of starting up a business and going for it. Do you think it's worth it? I mean, I think here, you know, all three of you decided to build your own brand. Do you ever think of, you know, maybe getting a franchise or maybe becoming part of a global brand as an advantage to your business? And I think we'll start with Frenny this time, so we won't pick on Rama first. So, is that an option, or do you think it's better to keep your own brand?
I'm certainly going to expand, maybe not franchise outside Dubai yet. There is this trend in Dubai where you have your salon in every area. So we are in Al Bashar, maybe open something in Jumeirah, something in Mardif, you know, something like that. So that's something that I'm looking at in the next 8-9 months.
Yeah. Right. And there's, you know, what would be a competitor like Tony and Guy or those?
Luckily for now, nobody.
Nobody, yeah?
No.
Wow. So that's pretty sweet. So that's a nice deal.
Luckily. So anyone listening out there and you want to bring it on, feel free.
Oh, tempting fate. So if anyone's out there, it's 4001. You can also use our mobile app. And Frenny's daring you to challenge her in the space. So I can see your the competitive spirit is there. That's nice. Rama, you don't have that problem. I mean, you are in a red ocean. I mean, there's event companies, PR companies, marketing companies. They all try to take a piece of your pie.
Which is why we've kind of started creating our own initiatives. In the past couple of months, we have launched a campaign called Win a Wedding, where we've given away a complete wedding to a couple. And that is something that we want to grow as well. We've also created another initiative for young photographers and professional photographers. It's called Capture. And this initiative basically is an interactive platform free to the public to come in for seminars and idea exchange and information exchange, which is brilliant because then it's also a CSR that we're giving to the industry as well. The photography industry is certainly growing. There is a lot of things that are happening around that industry right now, and we want to be part of the movement. So we've created the free space where dialogue can happen. We've got an upcoming session in October 24th and 25th. It's usually a two-day seminar. And we've got professional photographers from different, you know, genre of photography. So whether they are underwater photographers, architecture photographers, they all come together and just kind of offer that platform and talk to budding photographers and emerging photographers. So we've got that platform as well. And then another platform that we have also created is Served, which is a TV show that we're working on as well. It's a food show, but it taps into the history of food and history of, you know, dishes from around the world. In our first season, we talked about the Indian subcontinent and how each region is in, you know, the cuisine in each region is influenced whether by its geography or climate or the you know, civil wars that happen in that space. So those are the kind of creativity that the agency is putting out there and allowing us to differentiate ourselves from the other agencies.
Well, so you know, as you get into that red ocean, you really have to be much more innovative and pressed on your brand strategy and how you're going to actually target your clientele in their buying cycle.
Absolutely. And it's not just our clients. We invite other potential partners as well. So we normally co-brand our clients and then invite sponsors and partners who are complementing brands to what we already we have in our portfolio.
Okay, the audience is asking quite a few questions here. So one is, and we can just go around the room here, is it better to have a launch party or a gradual rollout? And the other question is, how important, you know, is social media and where does social media actually fit in the toolkit when we look at a business? Where do we need those things to go? And thirdly, at what point, you know, do you start hiring those support services like accounting or head of HR or are those important, or should you do the books by yourself? Should you take a night accounting course and do the accounting on your own? But before we so we're going to get to those questions in just a minute. In the meantime, stay with us. We're going to be looking at what it takes to start a business and to run it, and what are the priorities. Where should your focus be? What things should you be starting with? Should you do the accounting? Should you get an accountant? Should you use social media? Should you use a print ad? Do you have a big launch party, or is it a gradual slow burn rollout? Well, these ladies are going to answer these questions in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are looking at what it takes to start a business, and we are also looking at the women entrepreneurs of this region. Here we have three of the top female entrepreneurs with us talking about how they started their business, why they started their business, what the challenges were, what the lessons learned, what they think you should do, where your priorities should be. So anybody who's on the edge of starting their own show or getting their own business on the road here, this is a very relevant section for you. And our first guest is Rama Hamid. She is the founder of Grace and Garbo. Rama, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
And our next guest is Frenny Sire, founder and managing director of Sire Shade Salon. Welcome, Frenny.
Thank you.
And our third guest is Nettie Setti, who's the founder and managing partner for Jamoro Jewelry. Welcome.
Thank you.
And it's a pleasure to have all three of you here. And so one of the questions was, you know, when you're launching your business, do you have this big grand launch event, or do you have like a really slow opening, like that secret rest mom and pop restaurant that everybody has to go to because the fried fish is just so good?
Well, I think the thing is, it all depends on what budget you've got, what capital you've got at that point of time. You know, throwing a party that you can't afford, you know, 2 months down the line, you're stuck with a huge bill and you're thinking, okay, what do I do next? It's not the most wisest approach. So for me, the best thing is to first get in there, look at who your clients are, what the other people are doing, what the competition is doing, and then start pacing yourself. It's just too early to go out and have a party.
Right. Okay. And what do you think, Frenny?
I'd say you could use social media as actually even 6 months before you actually set up, so that, you know, you can... Facebook is actually a fantastic tool, because then all your friends know what you're planning on doing and their friends know. But throwing a party 1 year down the road, even maybe never. I mean,
come on, not never.
Give them offers.
We can't do that.
Give them offers.
We can't never party. That's
your
that's
10th
just not right.
Your
10th that's just
year
not right.
Anniversary.
Yeah, 10th year anniversary.
Year. Come on, come on. I think you can, like, year anniversaries, annual anniversaries, those are allowed, no?
Yeah. Have small again, gifts it all, and offers.
I think it all depends on your, again, your the most important thing is your cash flow. How healthy is your cash flow? Are you able to, you know, to spend that kind of money? Because it's not cheap. You know, you're looking at least from 50 to 200 people that, you know, want to come in and have a good time. And that does eat quite a bit of a chunk of your your investment, and so the return of investment, is it worth it? All those measurements need to be taken into consideration.
And with regards, what do you think?
With regards to jewelry, when I first launched, I had an exhibition. I invited people to view the collection. That also does cost money, but at the same time, you get people to come in. They get to know about the brand. They get to see it. So, with for me, I need to. I had to do something to bring people in.
So you have to party.
It wasn't a party. It was an event.
Yeah.
It was an event.
It was an event, yes. Was.
I'm having another one
no
on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
It's a Diwali exhibition.
Is it a party? It's not a party?
It's not a party. It's from
11. It's Eid, though. You're supposed to party.
It's from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And it's our Eid and Diwali exhibition because it's now the festive season started. And
is there food going to be there?
There's going to be food.
Well, this is sounding
tea,
good.
Coffee.
Is there music?
No music,
okay,
tea, coffee.
So that's a sign it's not a party then.
Yeah.
But food is good.
Food is good.
I like food.
Yeah, so.
What kind of food are you going to have?
Small canopies small. Going around. It's from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, great. And so we can get a deal?
Yes, you can get a deal. You can see a special collection that's only for that event, that's made specially for the event.
Okay, the unveiling. So you're actually not only subscribing to the launch party event, launch event, I guess is the right word. You're doing one this Saturday, so we can see a mix here of the business philosophies. A couple people feel a slow burn is much better, and another entrepreneur here feels that, you know, you need to kind of shock and awe the market.
Yes.
I suppose, Shane, it all depends on the kind of
business
you're
that
in.
You're in.
Yes.
Exactly. I mean, I can't afford to have a party at my salon when people need to get their hair and their nails done. You know, I mean, are you going to dance? Are you going to be under the dryer? It just doesn't work.
Have you seen the movie Zoltan? Or is he?
Oh, my God, I love it. I wish I could get the guy in my salon. That would really change things.
Well, he definitely has an opinion on this item. Okay, so one of you already mentioned social media, but how important is, you know, the digital skill set to the entrepreneur of the 21st century?
Vital.
Vital, huh?
Vital. You need social media.
You do need social media, but then again, there is that fine line of clear messaging, because there's so many tools out there. Again, people get lost with the messaging. What happens is a lot of times you tend to just fill up the platforms because you need to say something regardless of whether they are within your brand strategy or the brand equity. So you need to be very, very careful on what you want to put out there to reflect your company as well as what the brand's, you know, is all about. So, you know, just bombarding the social media with empty content is not a way to go. So you need to be very, very careful on what you want to carry out there, because it's going to be stuck for a very long time.
Is anybody doing social media correctly? Because, I look at even some of these big companies, and it's like, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take our print campaign and we're going to put it on Facebook, social media.
That is the
problem.
It's
like, that's not the point, right?
Exactly. You know, that's exactly what I'm saying. You know, there is a completely different strategy for your online space to your offline space. And we're all, you know, kind of going through this learning phase together, and it's trial and error at this stage.
But isn't it about interactivity? I mean, the whole point of social media is that you need
exactly.
to drive that interactivity. And mm-hmm. I just don't see people, very few people actually grasping the concept that the interactivity has to be there.
Yeah. A lot of people have missed the plot, what social media is supposed to do. So again, your online, your offline, your campaign just is posted on there and that's about it. So, but there is no follow-up.
Social media has helped me connect with people who don't only live in Dubai and who want quotations and who like some designs and then who come to me when they do visit Dubai. So it's actually helped me in a positive way.
So are you, you're shipping quantities of gold into strange countries, are you? I don't know if we can talk about this on...
No, but clients come in and they've seen a product online and they've come in, they've liked it, they've placed the order. And they don't even live in Dubai. So it works well for me.
So they, I mean, I think that's one of the exciting, that's one of the exciting things of social media is that at a click of a button, your product can be in 5, 6, 7, 8, or even 50 different countries.
Which can also be dangerous, Shane, because if your message is not correctly, it plays correctly, then you're stuck
it
with
the wrong message.
The whole world knowing, you know, what they should know.
But isn't this is one of the interesting concepts where, you know, I think people are afraid to fail. So they're like, I'm not going to do anything online till it's perfect. Well, it's never going to be perfect.
Exactly.
And you know what? I believe, and this is my philosophy, that I could put up 5, 6, 7 horrible videos. But, you know, if the next three are amazing and go viral, like Gangnam Style, I don't know that I would. Or, you know, no one's going to remember. Like, nobody knows Gangnam Style's, you know, 20 other crappy Korean rap songs. Yeah. We only know this one. And we only care about that one, the big win, will eclipse your failures. And so shouldn't we fail fast and fail often as we drive our businesses forward?
But then again, you're jeopardizing your brand as well. There is that... will that reflect on your brand equity and completely bring your brand down and you have to restart from scratch? Or, you know, so there's a lot of those variations that need to be taken into account.
Right. So you think that you could be dealt a death blow on social media and that would be the end of you? But I mean, you know, did we stop using any of those banks that they were caught smuggling Mexican drug money? They were caught fixing LIBOR. They were caught. And these are, you know, your banks. And you know, it's like on the news, it's all over the world. And then the next day, you know, people are lining up at their ATMs or their tellers and nobody cares, right? Do they actually care?
Well, if you're looking to sell your brand at a later stage, because end of the day, it's the what is your exit plan? An exit plan needs to start from day one. You know, when you're starting your business, you need to start of your you need to start thinking of your exit plan. It shouldn't be just day by day, because based on that, you're then driving your business to that exit strategy. So if you from the beginning, you're going to have this trial and error that do not build the brand equity. Where does that then leave you? You're constantly just making the mistakes. And it's
but isn't that where your learning is? Is that when you go up there and people are like, you know, that video that you just sent, that was like really offensive.
We'll never visit your website again.
No. Yeah. You need to have a plan and then take it forward.
It can't. When you're talking about brand, you can't have these constant trial and errors. People will not be forgiving.
What do you think, Fanny? Are people forgiving? Should we
no.
be as people aren't forgiving?
No.
Well, with hair,
it's not in my
hair,
yes,
that's
when you mess,
different, right?
Yeah, when you mess with a woman's hair, you are in trouble for like forever.
Right. It's because it's emotional too, right? If someone ever gave you a bad haircut, even like 10 years ago, you still remember it, right?
Exactly. I mean, not even hair. Even if they give you a nasty manicure, pedicure, and you're limping around.
Oh, well, tell me about it. Tell me about it. I mean,
you know? So you've got to be very careful. And what I would say is if you're in the service industry, do not have an interactive website. I mean, your website is just to show all the wonderful things that happen and maybe apologize for the not so wonderful that hardly ever happen, because we have professional stuff. But on Facebook, Instagram, I think they're great platforms and they're free. So, you know, like in my case, we always do before and after shorts and things like that. And it's good.
Really? Yeah. The total makeover?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So things she like comes that. In as a 6 and walks out as 9.
Yeah. ten and a half.
Walks
in as a 4. You know, so things like that. So there's benefits of social media, yes, and I completely agree with what Rahma says, because if one person writes something like, oh my God, I had the worst experience. And probably this is because the tea was hot or the coffee didn't have enough sugar. It had nothing to do with the actual hair or the nails or, you know. But that's something negative that will be there forever.
Mm.
And so you really have to, you know, think. But do not have an interactive website. No, I completely don't advise that. No.
You should have the one where you can put your face in and then we can switch all the different types of styles.
Just that, exactly. Like, you know, you can change your hairstyles, the length and things like
nails
that.
Nails long, shorter.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be awesome.
No opinions. Opinions call me personally so that I can fix them, you know.
Right. Oh, so you don't want people posting the negative up.
Yeah.
Okay. But Nidhi, you're pro social media. You're like, get it up there. If it's not working, get it down. Throw something else up. You know, let's just move forward with this and figure out what works, what doesn't.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So we have some differences in opinion. If you're listening out there, what's your take on social media? Could it be a death blow if you have an interactive website? If you're thinking of using a business and you know you find some negative press online, will you not go there? I mean, if they had 8 great reviews and 2 nasty ones, you know, should you still go to that business? SMS is at 4001 or use your mobile app to tell us what you're thinking. We're going to find out a bit more about starting a business in the Middle East as a woman and what some of the challenges are. We're also going to look at diversification. What's the growth strategy? Where do you go from there? How do you, you know, what's the growth opportunities in Dubai, in the UAE? So stay with us.
Dubai i 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We are in the entrepreneurs panel and we are looking at 3 of the greatest female entrepreneurs here in Dubai. We have with us this evening Rama Hamid, founder and owner of Grace and Garbo. Rama, welcome to Eye on Careers. Welcome back.
Hey,
sorry.
Shane.
Hey, so Rama runs one of the leading PR firms here in the Middle East, and we were just talking about different strategies. She feels, you know, marketing and having the right branding strategy is really, really critical, and making sure you have long-term continuity in your actions, that your business builds on itself. She also says to be wary of social media, and putting up the wrong social media strategy could be a death blow to your business. We'll hear more about that in just a minute. And then we have Frenny Sire, who is the founder and managing director of Sire Shades Salon. Welcome back, Frenny.
Hello.
Frenny also agrees that having the interactivity function on your website or encouraging social media can work both ways, for and against you, so it should be done very carefully. And then we have Nidhi Sethi, the founder and managing partner of Jamoro Jewelry. Welcome, Nidhi, back.
Thank you.
Welcome back. And you are on the other side of the fence. You said, look, you know, social media, don't be afraid of it. Go up there. If you throw something up that's not working, you get a few nasty tweets or something, you can turn it around and it will be water under the bridge. The faster you find out what doesn't work, the faster you can find out what does.
Agreed.
Agreed. So one of the questions that were coming out from the audience was, you know, as you grow, you know, do you need to diversify or is it better to be, you know, hyper-focused? I would assume Afro salons are hyper-focused, very particular type of products for particular type of hair issues and et cetera. So,
correct.
Or do you want to be more diversified? Are you thinking of which works for you? Focus or diversification?
You definitely need to diversify because the market is becoming saturated. If you're looking at PR and marketing spectrum, there is a lot of PR agencies out there. There's a lot of branding agencies that are constantly springing into the market space. And you cannot continue just being, you know, sole focused on one product offering. You need to either partner with other service providers, so you provide a holistic marketing tool, or you diversify and come up with other ways of gaining momentum and gaining market share.
And Franny, what do you think?
Focus. Like you said, in my field, we're actually just dealing with one kind of hair. Like, I specialize in Afro hair. So, yeah, it's more focus.
Right. And Nidhi, what do you think?
We stay focused, but we always expand and we always become more creative to go out there and get more people.
But you are going after one particular segment. And you're not really going to diversify out of that. Like, I know one of your competitors, Amit Jewelers. I don't know if you know him. Damani Jewelers. That's what I meant. Damani Jewelers. Yeah. They said that, you know, they made a call not to diversify at all and just hyper focus on the premium market, and it's been very successful for them. So is that how the jewelry business works best? Is really
you need to stay focused.
Yeah,
and you need to. You still need to be creative, but you need to be focused, and you need to focus on your particular segment.
And stay, as globalization creeps into the game, don't you think that, you know, in order to compete, you're really going to need that niche specialist, especially as an entrepreneur, unless you have these super conglomerates like a GE that has the bandwidth and infrastructure and capital to compete against a myriad of segments. But as an entrepreneur, you know, you really need that niche specialization, don't you, to compete globally? Or will technology allow you to continue to diversify even if you're small?
I think from where I'm sitting, there is a way of partnerships. I think that's important. Look at other complementing services that you can add on and become partners with other companies or other brands. Then you're all kind of, it's the question of scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You know, market, you know, you're sharing the same client but offering a whole spectrum of services. So you need to look at it like that. But just saying, okay, well, today we're just going to be offering PR and that's it, you're not going to be able to survive, because there are so many competing agencies out there offering, you know, a lot less price on their rate card for the service, more or less what you're doing. So why would a client come to you as opposed to going to that specific agency? So what you need to start looking at or taking into consideration is, if I'm not able to source this, offer this service myself in-house, how about partnering up with other businesses that then we can pitch together for, you know, for those big clients?
It's very, very interesting. Franny, you're steadfast on stay niche specialized. This is the way to go.
Yeah.
And same with Nidhi. So, okay, great. So we'll stay focused like that. As you grow the business, you kind of move from, you know, managing yourself, managing your business, to managing others. Can you talk a little bit about the growth spectrum? As the business grown, you have to grow. You have to grow new skills. You develop as a person. What's that journey been like?
OMG. I think when you start out with zero capital and, you know, just you just open your door, you need to be an office boy, a CEO, an accountant, an HR, all in a day's work. And it is very, very difficult, because you're wearing different hats constantly. And then at some point, you also need to outgrow, you know, those areas, because at the beginning, because you've taken so much of that, you think, oh my God, I've got to do everything now. And it's time to move on and, you know, kind of delegate. And it's very, very difficult, especially when it's your business, to delegate everything, because you feel like nobody will have the passion and the commitment that you want them to reflect on. And it's very difficult to kind of move on. And it is something that you just need to let go and let people start doing their work. Or you end up micromanaging everything.
Franny, what do you think?
Rahma is literally taking words out of my mouth. Having a good manager is key. I mean, I would not survive without my manager there. She's just amazing. And the other thing that you learn is you learn how to say no. Like, when people come to you and offer things, you know, products and things, don't just run and say, okay, I'll try this and let's do this. Always say no first. Take a few days, you know, have a look, read on that product. Give yourself 2-3 days before you actually say yes. Have a think.
Nidhi? You're still in the growing phase, I guess. Okay, great. What's your advice, your final bit of advice to anyone who's out there thinking of starting their own business?
Take the chance. It'll be worth it.
Take the chance.
It'll be
Go
worth
for it.
It.
It's yeah. worth it.
Research. And when I say research, it's just not online research. Let's say if you want to open a bookshop, walk into a real bookshop, sit down, spend time, talk to the staff that work there, you know, have a look. That sort of hands-on research.
Study I think needs that's, to be done.
Yeah.
For me, I think it's having a business plan, because a lot of entrepreneurs miss that very, very key fundamental business tool at the beginning. You just go into the business with no direction and you just end up, you know, doing things again randomly without having a proper business plan, a clear rate card, or, you know, a clear
guidance
into what you're walking yourself into. So having a business plan for anything, I think, is very, very important. At least it'll give you some sort of direction. It'll be a skeleton, you know, things will change, variations will happen, but at least it'll give you that guidance along the way.
It's very important to get experience in what you're going to start up as well before you start up. So go out there, work for someone, and then go and try it on your own.
So take the chance, get the experience, make sure you do your research, and write up a business plan.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you all so much for coming out and sharing your insights with us. Thank you so much, Rama Hamid.
Thank you, Shane.
And Frenny Sire.
Thank you, Shane.
And Nidhi Sethi.
Thank you.
It was really a pleasure. Hopefully we can have you all on again soon sometime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was three of the greatest female entrepreneurs here in Dubai. Rama Hamid is the founder and owner of Grace & Garbo, one of the leading PR firms, and Frenny Sire runs Sire Shade Salon, and Nidhi Sethi is the founder and managing partner of Jamoro Jewelry. That's it for this episode of Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, wishing you luck in chasing your dreams.